Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And you have tuned in to Cowboy Church, one of the most fantastic shows on TV, don't you think?
I think so. And sitting there here next to the fire, don't you feel just like
I'm telling you what.
We've cozied up to the fire. I noticed you have... Susie, are you a big game hunter?
Well, I'm not, but I know quite a few people who are, and those came off of our place.
Yeah.
And I was gifted those not too long ago.
Have a string between them.
Mm-hmm. You rattle them, and it brings the deer in. Yeah, like they're fighting, and they want to come together and come see what's happening, I guess.
Was that your job, to rattle the bones so that the deer would come in and they could shoot?
I've never done it, Russ, so I really couldn't tell you what that is. But it's something that happens here on this ranch for sure.
Well, I was thinking about those bones,
mm-hmm.
and the reason that those bones work is because God has built into deer to listen to certain things,
mm-hmm.
and those big bucks
mm-hmm.
listen for that kind of a sound.
Sure,
because they're fighting over a girl.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And so that buck comes in and that's how you get the big bucks, and that's
mm-hmm.
how you get to shoot that. But those things become a tool for an
mm-hmm.
attractant.
Right.
For that to happen.
Right.
Have you ever thought, here's kind of abstract, have you ever thought what kind of tools it takes to bring people to Jesus? What actually... the tools that we can
mm-hmm.
use
mm-hmm.
to attract people to the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Absolute genuine love.
Yeah.
Absolute genuine. No strings attached. No if you'll come to my church. No if you'll give or if you'll be my friend. It's a actual genuine love.
I think people can see if we're authentic too.
Mm-hmm.
If we're real.
That's right.
And Jesus Christ is really our priority, instead of us saying, well, my priorities are Jesus and my family
yeah.
and my church,
mm-hmm. yeah, right.
but they see it lived out in people, I think that's real attracting to people.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Yes, I have had people say that to me and say it to other people. And, you know, it's just a genuine caring, a genuine stop to listen and feed into their life, not just on certain basis, but just if we don't have time or not, you know, to feed into their life.
Well, people understand if they're a priority or not by whether or not we listen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so
absolutely.
I think it's important, if we're going to attract people to Jesus, we have to hear
mm-hmm.
who they are
mm-hmm.
and what's going on
that's
with
right.
them. And maybe that's the bones rattling.
So what are the bones rattling in your life? What is that attracts you to Christ? It may be the ones that also would attract other people in your life to the Christ that lives within. Sit back and relax. We're going to have some singing. We're going to have some teaching. And we sure hope that you enjoy what you hear. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in.
I like you guys already. Here's a testimony song of mine that talks about how this old cowboy found myself broken. And thank God I did, because he pulled me out of the ditch I found myself in. Listen here.
Like a wild stallion that busts through the gate, kicking and stomping everything in his way, out of control, I was that man. Much for fences, they weren't gonna hold me. I dealt with the pain and outran the misery, so far from the truth that lied within. Then he saved me. I was down on my knees and he held me when I cried out, please. there. He's right there beside you. Understand. We all have our moments, your moments to him. Just bow your head, talk to him. Open your heart and let him.
Glory to His Hey, let's reminisce for a moment this morning. Okay? Hang on 1 second. All right. Anybody ever buy anything that you got to put together before? Yeah. Christmas is the best, isn't it? If you have little kids, you got doll houses to put together, you got a trampoline to put together. Anybody put a trampoline together? Oh, yeah. Good times, huh? Anybody ever built a swing set before? Not put one together? Built a swing set? Good times. So, you know, we got all kinds of parts, and we got fasteners and little plastic bags, and you know that little plastic piece that you thought that wasn't included in there, and you were really aggravated with the person who packed the box because they probably left it out. So you went and you fabricated a new plastic piece. Anybody? Done that too. Yeah, and then whenever you throw everything away, you find that plastic piece that was in the bag that it was your fault. It was in there, right? Yeah. Good time, so let me put this down real quick. The noise is for dramatic effect, because that kind of gives the aggravation lent to it, yes? What are these? You bet. This is what comes in the box that we're supposed to follow. Now, guys, what do we do with these? You don't need them things, do you? Forget that. You don't need that. I'm a very visual guy. I can put it together by the picture on the box. Right? Yeah. Guilty. How about kids? How many of you got your owner's manual when you had your firstborn? The doctor didn't say, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, congratulations on your firstborn. Here is your kid's owner's manual. You'll want to pay special attention to the pre-adolescence and the adolescence. You'll need to know some things in there, right? Here's your manual. Did anybody ever get one of these? We didn't, did we? Right? But the instruction manual that we already have for raising kids is right here. Right? You bet. In the days that we're living in, no doubt, the last days leading up to Jesus' second coming. If you are not turning to the Lord and your owner's manual, who and what are you turning to for help and strength? Many folks are turning to a hodgepodge of humanistic thought and false teaching. In fact, I looked up some data this week from the American Bible Society's State of the Bible results. And the data shows that the Bible use this year fell drastically. In fact, 4 in 10 Americans, or 39%, qualify as Bible users. So let me tell you what the data showed as a Bible user. They qualified a Bible user as somebody that picked up the Bible at least 3 times per year. And that's down. Even while this is the most printed book, the most stolen book that I read, still down. Friends, is it any wonder why we have an overabundance of anxiety, depression, drug and alcohol abuse and use in our nation? Even having to fight for the unborn, because they don't have a voice, but they have a life. Does it make sense that we have an overabundance of medicated folks who don't know who or what to turn to that will really help them cope and overcome the challenges of this life? So this morning we're going to be looking at the answer for godly instruction in our lives this morning, and it comes from the Word. So before we go any further, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time that we have together this morning. I pray that you would open up our ears to hear. And Father, let your word find lodging in our hearts and allow it to change our lives. We'll trust you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. The title of this message this morning, friends, is Don't Throw Away the Instruction Manual. Don't throw away the instructions. Many of us, we give a lot of excuses for why we don't read God's word and put it into practice. Either from distractions or interruptions, which we've got a lot of those these days, yes? A lot of distractions, a lot of interruptions. We're too tired. We're not in the mood. Our kids have band. Our kids have sports. We have long hours on the job. But to folks who really genuinely want to get into God's word and start reading and studying God's word, but don't know where to start, they may say, well, I don't understand, or I don't understand what I'm reading, or it's hard to get into, or it feels like it's kind of old, antiquated language. I can't really see the value of it in my life. You know, all these excuses are valid, but most of them are tools that the enemy uses to keep us uninformed about God's promises and the truths that lay in his word as untold riches that will help us grow closer to the Lord and live as a mighty conqueror by his Holy Spirit. So this morning, let's take a look at the gift that God gave us as we live and operate in this world. The gift of his word. The instruction manual for our lives. So let's look at the Bible a little bit. Let's look at some facts about the Bible. Now, I'll tell you what, I love history, okay? So don't fall asleep on me here, okay? You history haters, don't fall asleep on me. This is good. Check this out. Some facts you may or may not know about the Bible. The Bible in Greek is called Biblios, which means scrolls. Makes sense because the Bible wasn't printed on the rice paper that you and I know of today. In fact, it wasn't even printed in English yet. So it was on parchment or scrolls. It was written over a span of 1,500 years on three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, by over 40 authors, originally in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. So some history in Bible translation. Check this out. Back in the 14th century, translating the Bible into any other language other than Latin could get you into a lot of trouble. But John Wycliffe went on ahead and did it anyway. Sounds like he could have been a part of a cowboy church. He translated the Bible into English in the 14th century. But after finding out, 43 years after his death, the Roman Catholic Church dug up his corpse, burned it, and threw the ashes in the river to punish him for his supposed sin. All for translating the Bible into English. Another early translator, William Tyndale, was executed by strangulation and then burnt at the stake for so-called heresy in 1536. See, Tyndale's translation of the Bible was used for other English translations, including what's known as the Great Bible. The Great Bible of 1539 was the first authorized edition of the Bible in English, authorized by King Henry VIII of England to be read aloud in the church services in the Church of England. And in 1611, after 7 years of work, the 47 scholars who produced the King James Version drew extensively from Tyndale's original work and other translations that descended from his. One estimate suggests that the New Testament in the King James Version is 83% of Tyndale's words. The Old Testament is believed to be about 76% of Tyndale's words. That's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. The Bible was the first mass-produced book on a printing press done by Johann Gutenberg in Mainz, Germany in 1455. Almost 600 years later, just 49 copies of the original Gutenberg Bible are still in existence, and less than half of those are even complete copies. But one is under lock and key at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C., and it's worth a fortune. Friends, why do I bring up the history of this most awesome of works, the Bible? Because this is our standard. Because it was with great labor and sacrifice that men took risks to even translate it into a common language and then print a whole bunch of them off so that everyone could benefit from reading and understanding what God had written for us in His instruction manual to us in this life. What a gift, right? What an incredible gift it is to us to even have a copy, have one in our hands. We should be reading it and putting it into practice. God loves us so much and He cares for us so much that He gave us His word to help us. God doesn't expect us to make up our own ways in this life or to live or just float along without any help from Him. So, for some of you that may not know, we are an Assemblies of God cowboy church. So we have 16 fundamental truths that are a part of our doctrine, okay? The very first doctrinal truth is that Scripture is inspired, okay? Scripture is inspired. So let me expound on that just a little bit. The Bible is God's written revelation to His people. And we can find that in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and it reads like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The word logos in Greek, or word. The word often refers to Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is God's revelation in human form. And the Bible is also the word, because it too is God's revelation in human language. Another thing that the Bible is it is infallible, meaning that there are no mistakes in it. So you may have had a nice, maybe heated debate or conversation with somebody about maybe there being mistakes in the Bible or being just a piece of good literature, but how can it be totally infallible because men wrote it? Men are fallible. Here's what we have to combat that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.